Welcome to Today's Voices, a daily digest from Native America Calling. I'm your host, Sean Spruce. Jury rulings against Google and Meta could be a wake-up call for those and other social media tech giants facing increasing criticism that they are not doing enough to prevent the harmful effects of their products on users. In two separate cases, plaintiffs argue social media contributes to a host of mental health setbacks, including poor self-esteem, depression, body dysmorphia, and suicidal thoughts. Dr. Deidre Yellowhair is a psychology professor at the University of New Mexico. She is Diné and says social media lends itself to addictive habits, especially for young children.
In a lot of ways, you know, social media can be used as a coping mechanism because kids, their brains are not fully developed. They can become impulsive in wanting to revisit social media posts. They can create peer conflicts on social media and revisit those conflicts. So these conflicts never have resolution because they live online. And then if there's not a good space to talk about what they're viewing and seeing in social media, it creates this silence around social media usage. So some of the best safeguards are consistent non-judgmental relationship with safe adults where kids can go to and talk safely about what they're seeing online and what they see and how it makes them feel, and really being able to process some of those images or content that they're viewing.
Dr. Yellowhair says social media feeds instant gratification from an unending stream of content, which can lead to an underdeveloped expectation for real-life interactions. Tim Purdon helped file briefs against Google and Meta on behalf of tribes like the Spirit Lake Nation and Sistan-Wapton Oyate. He is a partner at Robbins Kaplan. He says these and other tribes see the harms social media cause firsthand.
These cases are starting to show that juries feel that the business practices of the social media companies cause addiction in young people. Well, if you're an individual family and you've had a young person that's become addicted and had to go to treatment or had mental health problems, those sorts of the negative mental health outcomes, you may have a claim. But government entities have claims as well, because as teen mental health outcomes go more negative because of these products, that increases social costs, social service costs, things to states, cities, county school districts, and to tribes. Tribes over the last 15 years have stepped up to take their rightful sovereign place and say that we too, as governments, as sovereign governments, we too have been harmed. We saw this in the opioid litigation, where 250 tribes filed suit. We've recovered over $1.5 billion in damages to address the opioid epidemic. It's the same concept here. As a sovereign government, we're stepping forward. We've had negative impacts, negative teen mental health outcomes on our reservation because of these platforms, and we want a seat at the table as a sovereign to seek justice for our people.
Purdon says the most recent rulings may be just the beginning of new restrictions for the widely used platforms. While the lawsuits focus on the threats, there are many other users who remain proponents of social media's benefits. Dr. Amanda Cherimaya is the executive director for the Jim Thorpe Center for the Future of Native Peoples at Dickinson College. She is Laguna Pueblo and says that social media is a powerful tool if used thoughtfully and responsibly.
I believe that our stories have always been a form of healing, have always been a form of coping, have always been a form of encouragement. And so I use those same principles that I've known from my ancestors and really value the oral tradition. So I believe that especially here in this place of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where our narratives were often exploited through propaganda, like imagery and just newspapers, all kinds of ways that our people were exploited, I really believe that centering storytelling as a method of healing is important for our young people, for our relatives who are online. And I'm thinking about those users who have limited access, who aren't going to file court cases, right? Who aren't going to be on social media for hours. I want to be an agent of change for them, a piece of encouragement for them, even if it's for a few minutes or seconds, so that they can know that they're loved. And that's why I share social media, and that's why I share widely on my platforms, because, you know, we have the ability to share stories our way. And I think that's a powerful way to do that, honoring the honor of the oral tradition that we are very accustomed to in our culture.
Dr. Cherimaya says even if controls are put in place, individual social media users can minimize the potential for harm by establishing a mental checklist that ensures responsible, mindful, and cool-headed responses to social media's constant information bombardment. I'm Sean Spruce, and this is Today's Voices.